Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
I keep a list of all the coaches that I would love to get on this radio show, and it's a list that it's kind of like my personal list of, all right, who do I want on that I haven't had on yet? And at the top of my list, Arizona State coach Bobby Hurley. Had him there for some time. Last season, when his Pac-12 tournament season ended, Oregon knocked out Arizona State in a very close game. I wrote my column. I'm leaving the arena, T-Mobile Arena there on the Strip in Vegas, and I'm walking back to the hotel that I'm staying at, which is literally like across the street, but you got to walk down the street, and then you got to cross the street. And I find myself walking beside Bobby Hurley. And just having a conversation with him about the game, about the way he coaches. And I made a note to myself. I said, I got to get Bobby Hurley on the show. I want to talk to him about the way he coaches. I want to talk about his accident. He had a terrible car accident that nearly cost him his life when he was playing with the Sacramento Kings. All of that, I'll ask him about all that. And he joins us now. Bobby Hurley with us, Arizona State coach. Coach, thanks for making time for us. I appreciate it.
No problem, John.
Okay, you're one of like four or five teams that has a shot to win the Pac-12 Conference Championship. It's very tight at the top. What does that feel like to be admitted?
Well, I mean, we're just, you hope that your team is playing its best this time of year. And I think we've been on a good run the last few weeks and just finding ways to win, you know, a variety of ways. We've won some close games. We've won when our offense hasn't been at its best, and we've played good offense. So we've kind of figured some things out, but it's always a fragile thing, and you got to keep preparing and keep practicing well, and this is a big week for us.
You've been around basketball your whole life with your dad and playing in college and in the pros. Now you're coaching, and you guys have been really good in close games. What do you find, how do you explain a team that is winning close games, and What are you taking that dad may have taught you growing up that you still use today?
Yeah, you want to value the right things, the details, the minor things, getting stops late in games, getting big rebounds, making free throws, just the little things, talking to the guys about that. And it's always great to have guard play too. And that's something that we have here with Remy Martin and Alonzo Burge. Both of those guys have come up big late in games, making plays down the stretch for us.
How have kids changed? Like, you remember being a college kid and now you're coaching them. Are kids just the same, or are there things that you're doing now that you go, man, we just didn't do that when we were in college?
I mean, I think that there's been so much advancements in technology and training and, so as far as improving athleticism, there are so many ways that's happening. The other thing is the whole social media world now that we didn't have. Obviously when I played, everyone's under more of a microscope, each game. So these guys have a lot more pressure on them and things that they have to handle.
I have a teenage daughter, and I've got three daughters, and I look at them and I go, gosh, their lives are so much more complicated. I got a break. We got a break from it. Like, we came home from school and you got to play basketball. You got a break from it.
Yeah, it was, I'm pretty old and, no cell phones growing up. So it's just like, you couldn't get a hold of me if I wasn't in the house to answer the house phone. I mean, things have dramatically changed in our world. And, we're bombarded, with information, every moment. So these guys really have a lot on their plate, to deal with.
Talking to Bobby Hurley, Arizona State basketball coach. When did you get your first cell phone? What do you remember that?
I was one of the first people to have one, probably. It was my rookie year in the NBA, and I had just gotten that contract. And, I hadn't even really seen anyone with it before, but it was unique to have it. It was like everyone thought you were a big deal, when you had that cell phone.
We're about the same age, and I can remember my first phone weighed like 6 pounds. It's not like today.
Absolutely.
I'm good friends with Adrian Wojnarowski, and he wrote the book, The Miracle of St. Anthony. And what was special about St. Anthony?
I just think that, it didn't have a lot of bells and whistles. It was very, blue collar place that performed, miracles, as Adrian, stated with the title of the book, and just all the lives that were changed there in a positive way, and just given kids that have really, grew up in really tough backgrounds and difficult family life, an opportunity, to go to college and to have success. And, it was, just living it my whole life and seeing, all the players that played, at St. Anthony and how they went on to college and had a chance in life was pretty special.
Two-time national champion. You were the most outstanding player of the Final Four in 92. And I always say that players and teams, they have to sniff around winning big before they break through. Is that true? Do you find that to be true, or do you think that a team like Arizona State could put it together in a year, or do they know what it takes to get to that level?
Yeah.
You've been there.
I mean, there are certainly examples of lightning in a bottle and just going on a magical run or. So, but I do believe that you have to build through winning and success and failure and learning, to handle both. And as a program, we've made jumps every year the last couple of years and haven't tasted the NCAA tournament for two straight years and haven't played in big games like Kansas. We had a series with them the last 2 years and in our Arizona games, Oregon. You kind of learn to navigate through those type of wars and in big games, you start to learn how to win those as a program because you have guys that, that have progressed through that. And I think that's been a big part of our success this year. We had some adversity early. We had a really tough start to Pac-12 play, but we've responded and really have dug in and put ourselves in a good position here late in the season.
Yeah, I think, we look down the stretch. It's you guys. It's Oregon. It's Arizona. You look at Colorado, obviously, maybe UCLA, you're in this bunch and everybody's kind of looking at schedules. And I say, I don't look at the schedule as much as I look at the team. What do you really like about your team right now?
I think that we defend and it starts there and just we've done a great job of creating turnovers, putting pressure on our opponent. Our turnover differential has been strong. Our overall statistics defensively have been outstanding this year. So it's been a strong commitment to playing that end of the floor at a high level. And then it's having a guy like Remy Martin on your team that down the stretch in games could make plays for you to win close games. And he's had his fingerprints all over a number of our key wins in the stretch. And he's a fantastic player, one of the best guards in the country.
Are you still involved with racehorses? You still, and where did that come from, that passion?
I didn't grow up with a passion for it as I played professionally. There was a friend in my family that owned a couple, and he brought me to watch a few of the races and just got hooked with it. And I don't own any thoroughbreds anymore. I had a great time in the business experience. I don't have time to dedicate to it anymore, but I do still follow it. And the big days of racing, the Breeders' Cup and the Kentucky Derby, I'll make sure I'm tuning in.
You don't strike me as a guy who would dabble in something. If you're going to be into it, you got to be in it.
Yeah, I want to go after it and try and do the best job that I can do. And I had some success in it and really tough business and, really have some good memories of being in it. I met some good people. And, I this is my true passion. It's something, the game of basketball is something that's been such a big part of my life. And I feel like I found, my calling in life to coach and have an impact on some kids' lives.
I'm curious what you think of Peyton Pritchard. He's a guy that maybe a couple years ago, nobody saw as a player who could play in the NBA. Now I'm talking to scouts who say, he's got a spot somewhere. What do you think of his game?
Well, I mean, he really controls the game. He's a guy that plays and dictates the terms of the conflict. He's really, in command out there, running their offense and, making his teammates better, but also, coming up big. I talked about Remy Martin as a closer and a guy that can make big plays to help you win games. And Peyton Pritchard is the same exact way. I have no doubt he's an NBA guard.
Bobby Hurley with us, Arizona State coach. You've done a great job building that program. And I don't know, as a player, did you ever see yourself as a coach? Did you say, because dad did it, brothers do it, that this is something you wanted to do?
I always felt like the urge, especially around March Madness. Wow, all these experiences I have, what if I could help deliver some of these experiences for others? And I knew that, I didn't even think I'd be able to take basketball as far as I took it as a player. So I was a little bit sidetracked. I had thought I'd get into coaching right away because it was something that I watched my dad do my whole life growing up. But I followed my brother Dan, and it was one of the best things to have an opportunity to work with him and really learn how to coach. As much as I knew I needed those years as an assistant with my brother to really, find my way and find myself as a head coach. So it was just a great experience for me.
I always think Bobby Hurley, the player, Bobby Hurley, the coach, would you have liked to coach yourself, or would you have been, would you want an experience outside of that?
Well, I mean, I always kind of look for more than what I was. I look for, especially at the point guard position, a guy that's a little more dynamic, that's why like Remy Martin could do things out on the court that I could never do. Like, he back cut against Stanford 2 games ago, and our big guy threw a bounce pass to him in the center lane. He jumped off 2 legs and dunked it in traffic. I mean, I was not doing anything like that. So it's funny how you kind of gravitate away. And I look for a guy too that has, a little bit more of an ability to score and to set up his teammates. And I was more of a pass first guard, and the guys that I look for, I want a little more complete offensive player, and that's what we have in Remy Martin.
Right? Yeah, but you were not a fun matchup for people to play against, and you were a guy that if you played checkers against, I imagine you'd want to kick everybody's ass. Like, you're a competitor that way. Do you look for that X factor when you're recruiting?
That would be like Remy and I are way different players. I look for a guy that has, great mental toughness and a will to win, and try and identify those characteristics, especially from your leader, your point guard on the floor. And, he has those qualities, and down the stretch late in the games, he wants the ball and he's put the work in. He's our hardest worker. And so especially at that position, you need someone like that, and you need someone that's tenacious, that will defend and do those things as well. And I think I did some of those things when I played.
You get any chance to hang out with Herm Edwards on campus? And what's that like?
He's got such great energy. He's really so positive. And we did an interview together. It took about an hour with one of our local writers and just some of the stories he had. And just like, he probably spoke for 40 minutes and I spoke for 20. But I thoroughly enjoyed just like hearing just his energy and again, just all the experiences that he's had. So certainly our student athletes in the football program are benefiting greatly by having him.
We're with Coach Bobby Hurley, Arizona State coach. They've got Oregon and Oregon State this week. Coach, before I cut you loose, the accident in 1993, and for people who don't know, it was a terrible accident. I remember when it happened. I remember the news reports, and you were critically injured in that accident. How often do you think about that? How did that change sort of how you approach the rest of your life?
Yeah, it really, I knew how close I was to being gone because I was revived for a few minutes, and I just in those moments, I remember telling Mike Poplawski, who was a teammate of mine that was on the scene, he had saw what happened, that just to tell everyone that I loved them, and I knew that I may never be alive again. So I tried to, I've been blessed to have a family. I've been blessed to to travel and do things that I may not have been able to do. And I had such a basketball-specific life that I think it opened my eyes to want to experience more and to do more. And so I'm thankful. I feel blessed. That day, each year on the anniversary of it is always a really hard day for me, very emotional day. I don't like to drive a car too much on that day if possible. But otherwise, I've tried to just be positive and thankful that I'm alive.
I think it's such a powerful statement, and such a, you know, we walk away when, you know, I know when the accident, the helicopter accident happened a month ago, that, you know, I go home and I hug my kids a little tighter, and
yeah.
And I think, gosh, I should do that every day. Like, what does it take?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yes. I try and share that with our team, and just, you know, we talked about Kobe and his situation, and just, you know, appreciating life and taking advantage of life and not taking it for granted, and just trying to maximize, you know, every moment that you have.
Coach, I really appreciate you coming on and making time for us. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks, John. Appreciate it, man.
It's Bobby Hurley. Coach, intense guy. And look, for that accident, for people who don't know about the accident, he was thrown from his truck, two-car collision, hour after the Kings had played the Clippers in a game. And he is a guy who ends up with collapsed lungs, both lungs, broken ribs, head injury, neck injury, back injury. People on the scene said that, you know, Bobby Hurley's esophagus was pulled away from his body, and there were a lot of people that night that thought Bobby Hurley wasn't going to make it, and here he is out there coaching. And I know he gets, like, you know, look, I covered Bobby Knight as a beat reporter, and people compare his level of intensity to Knight. I just think there's a certain expectation that Bobby Hurley has for his teams. I enjoy watching him on the bench while he's coaching a game, because I'm watching his expectations, what he's trying to get out of a possession or a five-minute period of the game that he's compartmentalized, and it is really fun to watch Bobby Hurley in his craft. I love getting guests like this on the show. He's somebody I've wanted to have on for some time. I'm efforting Jimmy Lake, the Washington football coach. Like to get him on. Of course, I would also like to get a couple of the other coaches in the conference that we don't hear from regularly. Like, we get Kyle Whittingham on, we get Mario Cristobal on, we get Jonathan Smith on, Nick Rolovich we had on. But I like to get to these coaches. Like, Kevin Sumlin's another one I would love to have on the show. So, you know, I've got him on. I got this list that I keep. All right, these are the coaches that I want to get on in the conference. And Bobby Hurley was at the top of my list. All right, leave it right here. Coming up later in the show, you're going to hear from Harold Reynolds. Major League Baseball to Portland. We'll talk to Harold Reynolds about that and whether or not Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball commissioner, got it right. Stay tuned for all of that. You're listening to the Bald-Faced Truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network. I loved it this morning, as reported yesterday on the show. The city of Portland City Council or City Commissioners voted to make today Rip City Day in Portland in honor of Bill Shonley and the 49th anniversary of Bill Shonley saying Rip City for the first time. Now, we have given Bill Shonley the nickname the mayor of Rip City, and he joked around on yesterday's show about being the mayor. And you heard, I think Adriana laughed when he said, like, if I were the mayor, we'd get some things done. I saw a little chuckle down there from you. You find that funny?
I just think that he's so charming as just a person. And I really love that interview.
How much of that is Bill Shonley being 90 years old and you just being a polite person? Let's be real.
I don't think it's because I'm being polite. I think he just is. Every time I've met him and talked to him, he's always been really polite with me, and I love his stories, and he's just got one of those voices that I think transcends, like...
He's everybody's grandpa.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he is. He becomes... And a friend of mine this morning texted me and said, why isn't there a street in Portland named Shonley Street? It's a good question. It's a question for Mayor Ted Wheeler, probably, and those city commissioners. Like, Bill Shonley should have a street. And don't wait till he dies to have, like, to give him a street. I'd like to see Bill Shonley drive down Shonley Street in his red Cadillac with those Rip City plates. Roll his window down, you know, on a summer day, pass by us and wave. And then, you know, as he disappears down the street, you go, all right, you know. That's Bill Shonley.
Rip City, baby.
Cadillac disappearing into the into the horizon. And that's a good question. And then I had colleagues who said, well, if you're going to give Shonley a street, you got to give Harry Glickman a street. Okay. Let's give Harry Glickman a street. He's in his 90s, too. Let's do it while Harry Glickman can drive down the street, right down Glickman Street. And we have this, you know, we got a lot of street names. And I know it creates confusion and people go, oh, you know, if you start naming streets after people. How about One Center Court? Right? Can we rename Center Court Glickman Way? Right? The address should be One Glickman Way. That's where the Blazers arena should be located. Winning Way. How about you make that Shonley Street? Winning Way. Who's going to be offended? You change Winning Way to Bill Shonley Way. Give him his street.
Rip City, baby.
He's in favor of that. So give Bill Shonley his street. But here's what happened when he met the mayor today. So the mayor did this thing and Shonley gave him a basketball. And you got a couple of the commissioners put on jerseys. They had on Blazers jerseys. And then Sean's brought a basketball and it was autographed by him. And it was autographed by Jim Barnett, who hit the shot that Shonley first said, Rip City, baby. You know, this was 49 years ago yesterday. I don't know why they're making today Rip City Day. Just politics right there, folks. That's why you don't need politics in your sports. They're a day late, a dollar short. No street name, and they're a day late. But hey, we got it done. That's like, there's politics in action. But this was awesome because Shonley is like, you know, gives this little speech in which he says, you know, here, turns to Ted Wheeler, the mayor of Portland. And he says, here's a basketball and it's got the name of Jim Barnett on it. And I signed it as well. And the mayor goes, Ted Wheeler goes, thank you, Mr. Shonley. And he stops him and corrects him. And he says, that's Mr. Mayor to you. Bill Shonley did that to the mayor. I love that. I have the audio of it. I'll play it coming up as part of Punch It Audio. That's going to be next. It's the best sound from all around. Harold Reynolds still in front of us. Two-time Major League Baseball All-Star. He'll be along to talk about Rob Manfred and his involvement in the Portland Diamond Project. If I could just step back for just 10 seconds, wouldn't it be a good idea? If you're Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball, you're just fielding all this horrible news right now. Just switch the conversation. By the way, we're announcing expansion of Major League Baseball by two teams. How quickly would this Astros...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.